Luke chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 20. And it came to pass that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place with Quirinius, the governor of Caesarea. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, so to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to you, to all people. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Amen. Right, can anybody remember when we last heard these verses? Last week. Frederick actually read some of these verses last week. And I'd planned to do these verses, and I thought, oh no, he's going to preach on what I want to preach on next week. But he did it from a completely different angle, so that works out well, really, because you'll get a double dose, really. Can you imagine the scene, first of all? Shepherds on minimum wage on the night shift out in the fields, probably sat around a fire talking, then suddenly more light than they had ever seen. You can imagine in those days, the only lights that they had were candles, weren't they? Or little oil lamps, which they're not going to put off a lot of light. It's not like us with the street lights and sort of the quite bright fluorescent tubes and things. They had little candles. So you can imagine when this blinding light appears, what a shock this is going to be. More light than probably they've ever seen before, blinding and shocking them. And then out of this light appears a figure and begins to speak and says, "Don't be afraid." They've probably had a nasty accident by this time. Let's put it into a modern-day simile. Someone working at McDonald's on the 24-hour drive-through, suddenly a massive light in the car park and someone walks over. What would happen? They'd probably shout, "Bomb! Alien!" Or run off screaming, wouldn't they? Yeah. Free chips for everybody. It says that these shepherds were afraid, weren't they? I should imagine they were more than that. I should imagine they were petrified. Something which it doesn't tell us, which I wondered about, was what happened to the sheep? The sheep would probably have scattered from the light, but the shepherds never went to look for them. They just shot off down to Bethlehem. So that's something for you, isn't it, to think about? God must have looked after the sheep while the shepherds were away. Not just a little flickering candle that they were used to, but a glorious light that shone all around them that lit the place up. I can liken it probably to, you can imagine when you get a really big flash of lightning and it all goes whoosh, something like that. The angel says to them, "Don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you good news. It's good news of great joy, something very joyful, to all people, not just to the shepherds. Born today is a Saviour in Bethlehem." And then he comes out with these amazing words. "You'll find him in a cattle food tray in a shed in Bethlehem." Strange. strange way for a baby to come. And then verse 14, it says, verse 13 and 14 says that a multitude of heavenly hosts appeared along with the angel and started praising God. Glory to the God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. Now, I don't know whether that was singing or whether they were just shouting it or whatever, but you can imagine that would have been quite a scary sight. I don't know how the shepherds would have felt about that. It tells us that as soon as the angels had gone, they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see if this is true. In verse 16 it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So they didn't just tootle along and they shot off straight away as soon as these angels had gone to find out what it was that these angels had been telling them about. They ran into Bethlehem. Why was Jesus born in a stable and not a hotel or a palace? Even in a nice bed with a nice midwife? Could God not have had Jesus born in a palace if he wanted to? Why was Jesus born in a stable, and why were shepherds included as visitors? Just going to look at these two questions. Firstly, so why a stable and not a palace? Why was Jesus born in a stable? Do you think that God knew that there was going to be no room in the inn, so he prepared a stable? Partly, he must have done, because it was there, wasn't he? If he is God, and we believe he is, couldn't he have just zapped an hotel up out of the sand? You know, with a nice delivery suite and a nice nurse to look after him. He could have, couldn't he? God could have done that very easily. So why a stable and why a manger? The word manger seems to come off his lips very well, because we only hear it at the time of Christmas, don't we? But if you think what it actually is, it's the trough, what the animals eat out of. There's nothing special inside there to sanitize it or cleanse it or anything. They just throw the animal food in and the animals come and eat it. So all the slaver from the animals and all the drool and everything is in there, isn't it? And if they've coughed or been sick or whatever, it's all sort of in the manger with Jesus. Not a good place to lay a baby. I'm sure you, Stacey, wouldn't fancy having your new baby laid in a cattle feeding trough, would you? And nobody else would either, would they? Wouldn't like it at all. Like a nice sterile environment these days, don't we? But that's what it was, the lowliest of places with the minimum of care or help. And that's how Jesus came into the world, isn't it? Jesus was born into a poor, working class family, ordinary people like you and me. As if you can call me ordinary or normal. No money and not much wealth, really. They weren't kings. They weren't high up people. They weren't supposedly very intelligent people. This shows us that Jesus truly was sent to all people, as the angels had said. No class or race or barrier. Everyone. Jesus was born without special privilege, to show that God was happy for Jesus to have a relationship with ordinary working people, normal class people, even you and me. It's amazing, isn't it? God couldn't be born in a palace, because it would have excluded all the ordinary men and women from the birth, wouldn't it? Jesus was born, as it said, by the angels to all mankind, no one excluded. Why shepherds? Well, diversing a little bit, we can understand the wise men being invited, as they had significant gifts, didn't they? What were the gifts? You all know them. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. All expensive things which, as we know, had a spiritual meaning to them as well. So, yeah, that's all right. They can come. They're bringing something of value. Come in. But shepherds probably weren't wise at all. It was one of the sort of lowliest jobs of the time. If you've ever known anybody who works with animals, and ask Altisha about this, John worked with animals for quite a lot of his working life. What are they like when they come home, Altisha? They smell. Animals are naturally smelly things. They don't wipe the bottoms or whatever, do they? They're smelly. So probably these shepherds would be quite smelly. It doesn't say anywhere in this story of the shepherds that they actually brought a lamb to Jesus as a gift. Has anybody read that in the Bible? It's not there. It's something what people have made up. You've seen it on Christmas card pictures that the shepherds are there with a lovely little lamb under the arm, you know, to give to Jesus. But it doesn't say that here. The shepherds probably didn't bring anything. The sheep probably weren't even theirs. They were probably looking after them for someone else. So they wouldn't dare take a lamb. They might be quite dirty because they didn't only do an 8-hour shift looking after the sheep. It was their life. They lived in the fields. Yet, they had the best invitation of anyone to Jesus' birth. If you think about the wise men, God put a star in the sky, the wise men saw it. Through their own intellect, they followed the star. Yet, when you look at what happened to the shepherds, it was a far better way of being asked to come and see Jesus' birth, wasn't it? An actual angel spoke to them, came personally and spoke to them. An actual host of angels sang to them. God personally invited them in a very spectacular way. God wanted them there. Ordinary, working class people, and even intelligent, wealthy men. Both of them. All mankind, all types of people. Why shepherds then? Because it was God's way of showing us that all people are important to Him. And He calls people from all walks of life to be His friend, His children, and His workers. Something what you might not have realized, but I hope you probably have. If you look at all the significant people in the Bible chosen by God to do great things, there aren't many that are rich or really intelligent people. That's true, you probably know, but I'm only guessing, but I would say probably about 90% of them or so were just ordinary people. They were just like these shepherds, just normal people with normal jobs, living normal lives. But they saw God's glory firsthand. God chose to personally invite the shepherds to see Jesus and revealed some of His glory to them. Well, the good news is God still chooses to reveal His glory to everyday people like us. Maybe even we think ourselves to be insignificant people. God can use anyone to do His will, and He calls us to see Jesus just as the shepherds did. Look at the effect of seeing Jesus on the shepherds. In verse 20 it says, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them." So I could imagine from quite a bland night, they'd gone home praising God and worshipping God for the awesome things that they'd seen. That's lovely, isn't it? When you compare the wise men to the shepherds, on paper, the wise men would be the ones that you would think would be suitable visitors for the baby. If we were having babies now, who would we invite to see our babies? Friends and families? Maybe people who we thought might bring a nice gift? But probably not someone like shepherds. The wise men were wise. They had expensive gifts. They'd come a long way. Yeah, come on in. The shepherds came from a nearby field, it says, were quite close by and smelt a bit and had nothing to bring. Yet God made sure that they were invited. The story of the shepherd tells us quite a lot about God and how He works and how He thinks. First of all, that He calls ordinary people into His business. You know, people like us. He calls people who appear not to have anything to give to come and give something and to come and do something. He shows His glory to them and then changes their lives like He did with the shepherds. And God, just like the shepherds, says, come, even though you're smelly and even though you're dirty and maybe even though you don't know much, God can still use you. God can still use me. Three words for you to remember tonight. Willingness outweighs wisdom. We don't need to be wise to follow God, but we do need to be willing. Willingness outweighs wisdom. I just want to prove this to you, that this is actually a biblical principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 26 to 29. Listen to these carefully. For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. If you're feeling a bit weak or a bit foolish maybe, or a bit ordinary, then I've got to tell you that you are perfect material for God to work with. The weaker we are, the more God's glory is shown. So we can't say, oh, I can't do that. I can't do anything. I'm no good to God. Because that's the perfect person that God wants, that his glory can be shown. He likes us and wants us just as we are. Maybe we even like the shepherds with no gifts to bring, having nothing in our hands, but willing to go and to do and to be for God. And he'll show us his glory and he'll change our lives and the lives of others through us, hopefully. I'll just finish with this one line. The world is made up of ordinary people who God calls to do extraordinary things. Amen.